Some people take the straight path in life. But at Arizona State University, we respect your twists and turns. They make our online students more driven to excel in their professional lives. That's why our personalized suite of services empowers you with innovative resources and staff that sticks with you. Make your next turn with one of our 300-plus programs at ASU, ranked in the top 5 for best online bachelor's programs. To learn more, visit asuonline.asu.edu.
It is very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. The video went on a bit early there. Thankfully, I wasn't doing anything I shouldn't have been doing on the air. Just texting, I think. Sorry, I do apologise for that. Slight technical issue, but we got it all sorted out now. Don't forget, by the way, yes, you watch the video. Please do vote for me on June the 7th if you want to vote for change, because I certainly will bring a change to Europe. You know what I've done on the radio over the last 30 years. Imagine giving me a bigger platform in Europe. I'll embarrass the Irish government into doing the right thing. We'll talk about that a bit later on. But the first thing I want to come to is something that's probably going to come up for me quite a lot, by the way, in the media over the next 2 or 3 weeks when I'm on interviews, etc., which is Irish neutrality. And it's something I've battled with over the years in relation to our position in Europe. Now, as you know, the military-neutral member states are Austria, Ireland and Malta. It's getting harder and harder, of course, to keep that neutrality. And previous military-neutral states were Finland and Sweden, as of from the 7th of March 2024. For the military-neutral states, membership in the EU and its common foreign security policy poses a challenge for them to keep the neutrality states. That's according to the EU, by the way. The Taoiseach, Simon Harris, has reiterated the government's intention to abandon the triple lock under which Irish troops can only be committed abroad if there is a decision of the government, a vote in the Dáil and a UN resolution. Now, the government has argued that the requirement for a UN resolution effectively gives the permanent members of the UN Security Council, the US, Russia, France, UK and China, a veto over the deployment of Irish peacekeepers. Speaking in Brussels on the second day of the summit of EU leaders, Mr. Harris said it would be absurd that Russia would effectively have a veto on where we can send peacekeeping troops. He said the Taoiseach Micheál Martin intended to bring forward legislation to change the triple lock, adding, "I hope that there's something that can be done in the lifetime of this government." Mr. Martin also said he wanted Ireland to be able to respond to crisis without waiting for approval from the UN Security Council, which has not authorised a new peacekeeping mission since 2014. Now, under the triple lock system, in case you didn't know, 12 or more Defence Force troops cannot be deployed in an overseas mission without approval from the Dáil, the government, or authorised from the UN. The Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs, Micheál Martin, has confirmed that Ireland's overall financial aid sent to the Ukraine since February 22 now amounts to over 212 million. This compromise of 90 million in stabilisation and humanitarian funding and commitments of approximately 122 million in non-lethal military assistance under the European Peace Facility. This is a separate form of funding provided for the support for Ukrainian refugees that have come to Ireland. Now, columnist and Sunday Independent journalist David Quinn has said Ireland is an only somewhat sovereign country now, and if we abandon our neutrality, as some are proposing, we will become less sovereign still. It's a curious paradox, he said, that we have spent the last few years marking the various centuries in our struggle for independence without really debating the extent to which we are independent today. So the question I'm asking you today is, should we remain neutral, or is it too late? After all, by funding military, for example, even recognising the state of Palestine, to some degree by de facto, we're not really military. We're kind of surrendering our neutrality somewhat. And if we see Europe expanding, which I don't agree with, by the way, the expansion of Europe, of course, that dilutes our sovereignty. And it also puts our neutrality at risk, more at risk. Let me know what you think. Do you believe Ireland is still a neutral country? And should we remain neutral? Let me know what you think. The number is 085 122 55. Now, I'm joined by David Quinn and also one of our regular callers, Billy, by the way, who worked with the defences and also has a good position in relation to neutrality. David, I'll talk to you first if I can. David, you changed your position somewhat because you said this to me. We were chatting earlier on and you told me that you kind of, you know, over the years, you've changed your position. Why did you change your position on neutrality, and what did it go from what to what?
Yeah, so thanks, Niall. So I used to be all gung-ho about Ireland joining NATO. I thought it was the only thing to do. That this goes back to the days when you had the Soviet Union and the Cold War and the Berlin Wall and all that kind of thing. And you had Soviet tanks, which were right in the middle of Europe because East Germany was still part of the Warsaw Pact. And so I didn't think we should remain militarily neutral in the middle of all that. I mean, the tensions then were unbelievably higher even than they are now. Cold War might become a hot war at any moment, and it would have started in the middle of Eastern Europe. So things were very dangerous indeed, and I was thinking, we can't stay neutral. But over the years, and particularly more recently, my kind of position has evolved because I do see our neutrality as kind of one of the few things that is now distinct about Ireland.
It has been eroded, David. We've seen it been eroded, certainly over the last few years.
Yeah, big time. And you see, like, one of the excuses for eroding it is, Ireland is only a small country, and we're there on the edge of Europe, and we're very threatened by Russian warships and all that sort of stuff. And I'm thinking, well, how is that different to back in the 1980s, we'd say, before the Berlin Wall came down? I mean, the Soviet Union was a lot more powerful then. So if back in those days, nobody was saying we should give up our neutrality. Nobody was saying that we should join NATO. This is in a much more militarily threatening situation. Now they're suddenly saying we're this helpless little country on the edge of Europe. But we were really a helpless little country on the edge of Europe back in the 1970s and 80s and so on. And yet nobody was saying we should become a part of NATO. So, I mean, I think what's happened is Ireland is being ever more absorbed into this kind of international framework. Huge pressure has been put on us to conform and be absorbed into that. So basically, our neutrality is dying the death of a thousand cuts. So we're doing everything we can to not be neutral other than join military alliances. That's the only
thing. By funding war, I mean, although they talk about non-lethal weapons, by funding war and by sending people over military to train people, for example, or by, you know, recognizing the state of Palestine, by de facto you're taking a side. Do you believe all that is part of eroding our neutrality?
Well, I mean, do you see, you know, it's kind of, when I was researching for that column you mentioned, I was looking up to see, what do various countries mean by neutrality? So a place like Austria, and you mentioned it there at the top of the item, it's still neutral. It didn't do what Finland and Sweden did by joining NATO, even though it's, again, right plonk in the middle of Europe. They said, no, we're going to hold to our traditions. And most Austrians, in fact, the big majority of Austrians, want to remain neutral. Austria, though, has joined in the sanctions against Russia since the invasion of Ukraine. And I think it sends humanitarian aid in. I don't know about military aid. A place like India is non-aligned and neutral. But it recognized a state of Palestine, even though it's only a theoretical thing at the moment, back in 1988. So it seems to mean different things to different countries. But here, the kind of evolving understanding of neutrality is not really neutral. We shrunk it. Now, Austria, again, I was looking it up. And so what they try to do is they try to act as a kind of peace broker in situations. So they've been kind of pushing, I think, for there to be some kind of a peace deal in Ukraine. And they want to be trusted as much as possible by both sides. And there is a position for that kind of thing in the world.
Well, we're good at that. Well, look, we've the best example of that in Northern Ireland, where two sides can come together who completely disagree with each other and we have decades of peace. So we're kind of good at that. With the assistance of other countries, we put that together. But sorry, David, just save me a second because I want to go to Billy. Billy, you know... Okay, Billy.
Hello, man. How are you?
Yeah, so Billy, the idea that we're kind of these freeloaders in Europe, in other words, Ireland will take what they can when it comes to protecting our state, but we're not willing to give. In other words, we want to remain neutral. Is that acceptable going forward, or can we keep that position?
Just to say hello to David first, and I'll counter his views as best as I can. So David, Niall, I would ascertain that Ireland is not neutral. Ireland has never been neutral. There is no document in the Irish Constitution that lays out that we are neutral. I'm sure David will come back to me with a reference to the article that was inserted after a Mies referendum, but it doesn't specifically call out neutrality. It calls out participation in European common defence. The neutrality that we have has been a government policy that's been handed down from successive governments over the last 80 to 90 years, but it's not something that has been constitutionally enshrined. Ireland is not a signatory to the Hague Conventions of 1907 that sets out the duties and responsibilities of neutral states that Austria and Switzerland, who are the other two neutral states, and Malta for that matter, would be signatories to. I would also say that the neutrality argument and inverted commas there around neutrality has been used as an excuse not to invest in our own defence over the last 80 years. So we have allowed the defence forces of this state, the Naval Service, the Air Corps and the Army to wither on the vine because we are neutral. We do not think that we have to invest in defence.
But Billy, to be fair, they've been withering on the vine, as you say, for many reasons, and it's not just that. It's in relation to we can't get people to join us.
But Niall, pay conditions and everything like that all plays into the broader concept of defence. The Fine Gael government in 2011 decided to do away with the full-time Minister of Defence. At the moment, the state has two ministers for education, two ministers for different areas of finance, but it has no minister for defence. This just goes to show how seriously successive governments have taken defence of the state. Now, we are living in a changing world. We're living in a very, very dangerous world, much more dangerous than it was in the 2000s. David will probably be aware of the concept of the end of history at the end of the Cold War, where we went from a unipolar world to a monopolar world, and now we're going back to a multipolar world in terms of international security. We have America and NATO as one pole. We have China, Russia, we have what's going on in the Middle East. There's multiple different poles of influence happening, and we are left here pretty much defenceless. We have the undersea cables for internet coming through Irish waters. Now, some would say that's not our responsibility to protect, but we are responsible for the protection of what happens in our own economic zone, and that's out to 200 nautical miles and beyond, out to the West Coast. So we're responsible there. But to do this, we have six patrol vessels at the moment that can go to sea, but only one of them that is going to sea at the moment. It's a ridiculous situation.
Okay, can I ask you a minute, just before I come back to David, but some people would suggest it's virtue signalling. By recognising the state of Palestine, as Simon Harris will do, or suggested they're going to do, by abandoning the triple lock, for example, which has also been on the cards, although I believe there should be a referendum on that, all of those things that we're doing, do you believe that erodes our neutrality?
Niall, I think the triple lock is the biggest farce that we have had. So when Leo Varadkar went to Kyiv in Ukraine last year, he had to go with the Gardaí instead of the Army Ranger Wing to deploy overseas because they couldn't deploy more than 12 Army Ranger Wing personnel overseas. When we were evacuating Irish citizens from Afghanistan during the pullout there, we couldn't deploy more than 12 Army Rangers to help with the evacuation. I think the triple lock puts Irish troops and Irish people in danger because it prevents us from taking responsibility for ourselves.
Okay, let me just ask David.
On Palestine, comment on that. We should not be recognising the state of Palestine. I think the members of the Dáil from the left have brought themselves into disrepute. They're constantly crying about neutrality, but they're more than willing to sacrifice the neutrality they cry about when it suits their political needs.
Okay, David, just in relation, first, I'll come back to the triple lock again. You know, Simon Harris has said, and Minister Micheál, or I should say, Taoiseach Micheál Martin has said, you know, that we should abandon the triple lock. You've heard the position Billy has on it and the problems that it may cause, but other people see it as part of our neutrality. Do you believe we should abandon it?
Well, I mean, first of all, by the way, I agree with Billy's last point about the state of Palestine and how it suits the left to abandon neutrality, you know, when it suits them, and the issue is one they're fond of. So I agree with that point. To refer back to the kind of legal position about neutrality, that's not something actually I'm particularly interested in. We have a long tradition of neutrality, and the question is whether we should keep that long tradition of neutrality and what neutrality means. Now, about your specific question about the triple lock, I mean, like, the UN Security Council, with its five permanent members, the reason they all have a veto is to ensure that none of the great powers is able to kind of capture the UN and use it for their own ends. Because if America was thinking, well, there's Russia and China and they've captured the UN, or Russia and China are thinking America has captured the UN, they would abandon the organization. So the UN Security Council veto for the five powers is a frustrating but necessary thing. Now, whether Ireland should come on under it or not is another question. The reason we do is because we've always had a kind of UN-led policy on where we can send our troops. And we've always, rightly or wrongly, had this kind of great respect for the UN. So we'd be calling into question, in a way, the way the UN has operated ever since its inception. I mean, I don't have strong feelings one way or the other, to be honest, about whether we set up this particular triple lock. So I'm not going to particularly argue the toss in favour.
But it's a point of principle. I mean, I know what Billy said. I can understand the inconvenience when he mentioned Leo Varadkar going over with members of the Garda Síochána. But it is, and I'll say this to both of you: is the triple lock not just a point of principle that you know?
Because if you're
talking about numbers over 12, which is what they talk about, that obviously the numbers under 12, that you know, when you start going down that road, people see it as abandoning our neutrality because you know that could be exaggerated by somebody else who would take advantage of that. So what I'm saying to you is it not just a point of principle?
We removed the veto that the UN Security Council has over Irish foreign policy. The Dáil and the government still have a vote on where we deploy troops. We take back control of our own decision-making process. For example, if hypothetically there was to be a peacekeeping force going into Ukraine, for example, Russia would have the veto. And if Ireland wanted to contribute to that force, we would be prevented from doing so.
But why would we be contributing to that force?
Well, maybe because Ireland has a fantastic peacekeeping record in countries like Lebanon, Syria, Chad, Afghanistan, elsewhere. We've been on the ground with peacekeeping, and it's been peacekeeping over the last.
We do have a great record for peacekeeping up to now, but there is a thin line between peacekeeping and assistance, isn't there?
No. Peacekeeping is peacekeeping, and there are different chapters under the UN Constitution as what constitutes a peacekeeping mission and different types of peacekeeping missions. But if we are in there on a peacekeeping mission, as we are in Lebanon at the moment, as we were in Syria until recently, and if we did go to Ukraine, the UN will seek members and will seek out countries that have a history of peacekeeping.
But there has to be... I mean, sorry, Billy, there has to be a way to... obviously, this is assuming that somebody believes we ought to be militarily neutral. There has to be a way of ensuring that continues. And you'd have this surreptitious way in which we would de facto become part of NATO by, for example, sending in... I don't know how they'd be peacekeepers, by the way, because there's no way in a million years Russia would trust anything resembling NATO troops coming into... Ukraine and offer and acting as some kind of a buffer zone. They would never, ever, ever accept that. And in fact, Russia would only accept it if they thought a genuinely neutral force was coming in, not one that's kind of surreptitiously aligned with NATO. So Ireland would
not
never,
only that,
ever
aligned with the EU. But not only that, we're aligned with the EU, who are currently funding the war. So Russia will never accept it.
Why, and with neutrality and taking the triple lock out of this, with neutrality, let's have a referendum on neutrality and let's really be neutral if we do.
But every poll we've had over the last three or four years has said that we should remain neutral. Every poll that has been carried out.
Let's put it into the Constitution. Let's become signatories to the Hague Conventions of 1907. If we're going to say that we're neutral, let's do it. Let's stop pretending, because that's all we've been doing for the last 80 years, pretending. It has been this magical safety blanket that doesn't exist that means that we don't have to look after ourselves.
Okay, I'll ask David just a final question. David, should we have a referendum on neutrality?
I think it'd be a good idea, and I think actually just to work out exactly what neutrality means, you know, does it simply mean not belonging to military alliances and staying out of wars, or does it mean non-alignment? Because we don't seem to have made up our mind particularly on that. And what's happening at the moment has been salami sliced away without a kind of a really proper public debate. Maybe the only way to settle that is actually by referendum.
And the problem we have, of course, is, you know, the EU is expanding. Of course, we see Ukraine wanting to join the EU. Not that I would agree with it, but you're seeing the EU expanding. I don't know how far it has to expand. Is it like the Eurovision Song Contest? Do we bring Australia into it next? I mean, so realistically, it's expanding. And the more it expands, the more we dilute that sovereignty and the more we erode our neutrality or the possibilities of eroding that neutrality.
Correct.
Listen,
I agree with that.
David, listen, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate you coming on the air. Billy, okay, if you want to stay with us, because I know you've got, there's a couple of callers here as well that might want to talk to you.
Yep.
Let me just go to Morris. Let me go to Morris. Morris, hi, how are you?
Niall, good afternoon. How are you? I just wanted to mention one peacekeeping force that my brother was involved in way before people can remember. When Cyprus was invaded by the Turkish on the north part of the island of Cyprus, my brother was one of the first and his platoon to keep the peace and a peace line UN servant to stop the Turkish attacking the people in the southern part of Cyprus. And that was 1977.
Mm-hmm. And well, that, really mission, that mission continues. That mission continues today. There's still peacekeepers in Cyprus.
Yeah. And I know people that have been on both sides of the island since then. I have friends living in Larnaca. And it's a beautiful, beautiful place. But like that will tell you, Niall, 1977, we were only chiselers and we were out helping to keep the peace around the world. Camp Shamrock in Lebanon. We have a great name within the... And an Irishman is actually chief of staff of the United Nations, as far as I know. One of our top generals. We have a very proud military service in Europe as well. But I think myself... The more we're involved with Europe, the more we're losing our identity as a, as an island of a republic and a sovereign nation. Because we're being dragged into a bigger club and you have to play ball with the clubs. And we're pumping money into you. One of the things that shocked me too, Niall, about our sovereignty and about our independence was we facilitated a lot of weather reports on D-Day landings in Europe to help the Allies destroy Hitler and everything else. But still, on the other hand, De Valera sent a letter of condolences to the people of Germany when Hitler died.
Did I read somewhere, you guys would know better than I would, but yeah. Did I read somewhere only recently that we didn't even have radar in this country?
We have civilian radar now. We don't have military radar.
That's what I'm saying, military radar. So we don't
We do not have a military radar capability in this country at the moment.
And, why is that? Why is that, by the way?
Because we haven't invested in it. So we have no ability. Hypothetically, Niall, a civilian plane, say a hijacking took place, a civilian plane flying out in the Atlantic at this point in time could turn off its transponder and Irish air traffic controllers would not be able to see it.
That's
they would not
bizarre.
Have any idea where it is.
I mean, in 2024, that seems like something that's not even possible to happen. That, you know, I'm assuming this kind of equipment has become more manageable, more easier to use, better over the years.
The project appeared as one of the recommendations in the Commission on Defence report. It's something that's been investigated, but it is not something that has been advanced.
And what's the problem? Is it too expensive? Is there nobody able to use it? Or what's the problem?
It would be a case that there is an expense, yes, but that I think given the budgetary surpluses that we have in this country, the expense is minimal. And yes, there will be a training element for people to operate it, but these are all surmountable issues. But
it's doable,
the thing is now, it gives us the ability to see out then when we have it, and hopefully it is something that will be there in the next couple of years.
Okay, but hang on. Go ahead. So just finally, go ahead.
For all those who say that like we're an independent nation, in the hypothetical with an aircraft flying in the Atlantic that we can't see, who do we have to call to help us? The RAF. So we have to put in a call to the Royal Air Force to fly over Irish territorial waters and Irish territorial skies to police our skies because we do not have the capability to do it ourselves.
Maurice, in relation to our neutrality in a more simplistic form, as we, you know, because you're right, we're part of the European Union, and the European Union certainly don't seem to be neutral when it comes to funding wars, and everybody has seen that. Ursula von der Leyen certainly probably won't be there. Hopefully she won't be there for too much longer because she is all in favour, of course, of funding Ukraine and funding a war that's probably never going to end the way things are going at the moment instead of looking for peace. Do you believe that we've eroded that neutrality? And is that a dangerous position to be in your view?
It could be dangerous, all right, yeah. And like what Billy said there, like we could be under attack from aircraft coming in from anywhere and we wouldn't know about it was too late. Like I recently read an article about the RAF escorting two Russian aircraft off the west coast of Ireland and shadowing them to make sure that they left out, as they called it, the British Isles airspace. So we have a neighbour who's not even in the EU who are willing to say, well, look, you haven't got the planes or the equipment. We'll keep an eye on you, Paddy. And then you have Europe saying, come on, Paddy, get your rifle and your bug gun and come on into the warship. We're all in this together. One for all for one. Mm. So, you know, there's a certain price that a country will pay for taking sides. And if Ireland decides to go down the road of taking sides with somebody in a battle or a war, I think we'll pay a high price. Somebody will just press a button.
Can I ask you, by the way, although I'm assuming you don't agree with it, but do you believe Ireland will eventually join NATO?
I think if we have a referendum on it, people will definitely look at the pluses and the minuses. And at the moment,
would you agree with joining NATO?
At the moment, no, I wouldn't.
No, okay. No, Billy, I don't know about you, but I don't believe you. Do you believe?
As I said, I believe we need a referendum on neutrality, and I think we need to have an open, honest debate about defence in this country, because it's something that the far left and the anti-war movement and the anti-war protesters have led the debate on for a number of years, and they are the empty vessels. They make the most noise. I think we need a mature debate.
There are states in the world that don't even have an army, by the way. So there's nothing.
There's one state in the world that does not have an army. It is Costa Rica, and they actually have a gendarmerie, which basically is a civilian army, but it is just used for local defence, and they are actually looking at turning that around. So there's no countries in the world that does.
Well, when you say army defence, we have a defence force. I mean, people refer to the Irish Army.
Our defence force is made up of the army, the naval service, and the air corps. That's what it is. We have an army.
And in relation to our army, you know, it is small, our defence force. It's small. What is it, 7,500 troops?
But Niall, why is it small?
Well, you've explained the reasons for that, and I don't disagree with you, by the way. The pay is rotten. It's not only that. There's many Irish people go to Britain to join the British Army instead because there's more opportunities.
But Niall, it's a case that if we make it an attractive employer again and make it,
do you really think people would join it? I don't think so.
I mean,
they did massive campaigns on television and everything, trying to get women to join it there about 7 or 8 years ago. Nobody joined. You know what I mean? It's like nobody wants to be a bricklayer, Billy. You know what I mean? We live in a different world now. There are very few kids leaving college now saying, "I want to go to war." Some will because they want the adventure.
Niall, believe me, there are plenty who would join the Defence Forces and plenty who do join the Defence Forces on an annual basis. All you need to do is look at the Instagram campaigns showing people in training, and you'll see plenty of them there. Mm.
Yeah, sorry, Boris, very quickly before I go to the rain.
I think national service should come into it. Like a lot of countries, 18 months, 2 years out of your life, to go in there and help to defend your country in all cases.
Are you talking about conscription?
Oh, no, national service.
I thought you were suggesting conscription there. Mind you, there are individuals in this country I'd like to conscript into the army.
Yeah.
Okay, Billy and Morris, listen, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate both of you coming on the air.
Thanks.
Let me go to, I have to go to Lorraine a second, but I have to go to Nuala first. Sorry, she's been waiting longer, I've been told. Sorry, Nuala, hi, how are you?
Not too bad at all. I don't know, I've lost respect for the UN. I mean, we are going to the Lebanon for the last 50 or 40 years, and what have we achieved? Like, we can save the peace. But, I mean, Israel is still kind of ready to nuke
the Irish Defence Forces would argue that we've achieved quite a lot by being peacekeepers. The Irish are quite famous of being peacekeepers in the Lebanon.
They are. I get that. But, I mean, what have we achieved for the Lebanese people?
I'm sure they've saved many lives. Over the years.
Like, where is the UN? Like, where is it? Surely they should at this stage, all these different countries should be able to work with each other. Like, why do you need, if you had somebody in your house, yourself and your wife were fighting, so you had somebody in that was a peacekeeper to make sure that the two of you didn't fight. On the long term, that doesn't make sense. Mm. And it's the same when you have two countries beside each other and they're at war, we're kind of at war with each other. Having somebody in between for the long term, that's not a solution.
I completely disagree with you. When you take Ireland and Northern Ireland or Britain, realistically, if it wasn't for external, I suppose America were very much involved. Bill Clinton was very much involved in the peace process and the Good Friday Agreement. I mean, other people got involved in that to bring about that agreement, which has brought decades of peace in Ireland, got the IRA to put down their guns. So you can't say that other people involved. I mean, for example, when we look at the war in Ukraine, for example, and Russia at the moment, it's a proxy war. It's not going to end unless there's intervention and unless somebody says, lads, you need to sit down around a table. We all know what Putin is, by the way. We don't need to decide that. We know what he is, you know, but somebody needs to sit down around a table and say, how do we end this and save lives?
Well, that's true, but I mean, having an army doesn't stop that.
No, but
you have to put as much money into your peacekeeping as you do as negotiating. You know, people getting down around the table. you know, the first thing is, oh, gee, we have to fight these other guys. No, you have to sit down at the table and work it out.
Absolutely. Like I did hear on one of the EU debates that are like one candidate, I won't say who it was, saying, you know, that we hope that Ukraine win the war. And I'm going, you're a muppet. Nobody wins a war. There's no winners in war. It's not a football match. You know, no, there's no winners. People lose their lives. The only way a war will ever end is when people start to talk to each other. It's the only way.
That's it. Like 17% of the Ukraine are made up of ethnic Russians.
Mm-hmm. I'm aware of that.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, there was about 29 people burnt alive in 2014 in Odessa. You know, because from a Russian background, you know, there was a lot of things going on that weren't sorted out. And sometimes, well, to me, I think it's often the US sometimes stirs it up.
But do you believe if there was a vote tomorrow, or a referendum tomorrow on Irish neutrality, to enshrine it in our constitution? Because people believe, by the way, our constitution says we must remain neutral. Our constitution doesn't say that at all. But if it was to be enshrined in the constitution, would you vote for our neutrality?
More positive than just neutral. You have to work for peace, and you have to work for peace within your own country first, and then you have to kind of all the time be negotiating for peace. It's not just that you stand in the middle and you kind of say, I'm not going to back either side. Neutral has
but
to
we
be
do back sides
thing.
But we do back sides very the very
oh, I know we do.
Well, I mean, we've just listened to a week of Simon Harris saying, I'm going to recognize the state of Palestine. That, you know, whether you like it or not, that's taking a side.
Well, it is, yeah.
Yeah,
it is.
Of course it's taken
But,
aside.
I mean, say you take what happened in Yugoslavia. The UN sanctioned bombing of was it Belgrade. You know, and now if you had just one country, now you have about five or six countries. Like, is that a positive outcome? No, it's not. You know, like, in the last, say, 50 years, there hasn't been one war where you could say there's a positive outcome. Now, the first, Second World War, billions was put in to rebuild Europe. And that kind of, but nothing went in. In Afghanistan, they just sanctioned any money that was already, you know, for Afghanistan. So they left the people worse off than they are.
Well, you can blame America for that. They completely destabilized the Middle East. We'll stay there, Nuala, just for a second. Let me go to Lorraine. Lorraine, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. It's a complicated question because there's so many different arguments in relation to it. But I suppose in simple terms, would you vote yes to our neutrality in a referendum?
The only way we're going to get
neutrality, yeah.
That word, in this country is if we back out of, like, I know we're not in NATO, but we're highly affiliated with them. We have to kind of get back away from Europe. It's not, as you said, it's not as easy as voting, going, can we be neutral? We're going to vote for neutrality and stick it in our constitution. It's not that simple.
Well, it is that simple, because the European Union have to respect our constitution.
But will they?
Well, they will. They don't have a choice. And that's up to our MEPs, of course, when they go abroad, whenever, you know, a vote comes up on anything that might, you know, have some our reflection on our neutrality, that they don't vote yes. So that's up to our MEPs to do that, to make sure they do that. But they wouldn't be able to any vote against their own constitution. So, I mean, you know, as I said, Austria, you know, and Malta are also neutral.
I would love to see Ireland has a neutral country and stick it in our constitution and then be a sovereign state and all that. I'd love to see that happen. If that was to go to vote tomorrow, I'd vote yes first.
Mm-hmm. What about American planes, say, for example, landing in Shannon?
We can't really be that neutral. We've got American planes landing in Shannon and fueling up. We have, like, as you said, Simon Harris standing around saying he wants to make Palestine a state. We have to recognise the state of Palestine. Like, we're all saying, yes, neutrality would be brilliant and we'd all love to be neutral. But then everyone, like the politicians, everyone, like, you'd have to keep America out of Shannon Airport. That's going to cause ructions with America. You've got to shut Simon Harris up and tell him to shut up and not get involved with the stuff in Palestine. You know, that's not, we just leave everyone else alone. Mm-hmm. But they're not big enough, as you said. We've only got 7,500 people in our army. Hypothetically, if we were to get invaded tomorrow,
we can't defend ourselves.
We don't even have the radar to indicate when the planes are coming.
Well, let's be clear, we're probably not going to get invaded tomorrow.
But
we would rely on Great Britain and the RAF to defend us. And America, probably.
We couldn't defend ourselves.
No, we couldn't. But the only way out of that, there's two ways out of that. You know, you just leave it as it is, or you expand the Irish Defence Forces or Army. I mean, Billy talks about that.
Nobody wants to.
Well, maybe, I don't know. Billy says if the pay was better and the conditions was better, maybe they might want to join it. I don't buy into that. I don't think people would. No, I think we live in a different world.
I don't either. I've seen my friends, like, we did the defence forces and we were in school and stuff, and then we were offered to join the army and I was like, no thanks.
Yeah.
Shit money, shit everything else. It's not worth your while joining the army.
If there was a good wage for being in the army, would you join the army?
Me?
Yeah, personally.
But I would.
Yeah, I think they just one word out of your mouth would scare the life out of them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That's it. All I had to do was stand there and wave. But no, I just think it needs to be, the whole structure of the Irish Army has to be looked at again to try and get people to join it. If we're not going to give up our neutrality, or we're going to stay the way we're going, going to peacekeeping, we are renowned for our peacekeeping. We're renowned for all of that. Like, the triple lock system, only 12, the army did, like, that's stupid.
Well, no, it's not stupid. You know, the reason for that is, I mean, it's quite simple. It's a point of principle that if you're sending more than 12 troops anywhere, well, you know, to other countries, that seems quite threatening, I suppose. And so the idea was you restricted to 12 members of the defence forces, because it's not an army as such. It's just people being used for protection or peacekeeping missions.
You could send our whole army and nobody feel threatened. Send over to 7,000 people and nobody feel threatened with our army.
It's a point of principle. If you remove that triple lock system, well, then you're in a very, very different situation. It's like removing, well, according to Simon Harris and Micheál Martin, it's not. But according to many people, it's removing our neutrality. No, but I do understand the point that Billy made when Leo Varadkar went away and he had to bring the Garda Síochána with him because he wasn't allowed to bring that many military with him.
Bring the army, yeah.
Of course, I get that as well. But say with me, if you can, for a second. Derek, hi, how are you?
Oh, yeah.
Derek, should Ireland enshrine neutrality in the Constitution? Now, obviously, you know, it would be much different to the way it is today if we did, because many of the things we do today contradict our neutrality.
Absolutely. To be honest, no, I think the way the country's gone today is just unbelievable. I mean, I live in London, and we all had plans to go back to Ireland, maybe to retire. Not now. Absolutely not now. I've been over there a few months ago, visiting family. Whole place completely different. Not the Ireland we grew up in.
No, it's not. You're right.
It's absolutely changed. And it's great. It's great to have people from different countries there walking away and whatnot. But now, the way it is now at the moment, it's just a farce, really.
Well, no, I agree. It's a mess.
I think it's put me and most of the Irish that I meet over here in England, in London, completely off. Mm. It's coming back to Ireland.
Okay, but I'm not going to disagree with you at that point. And we've talked about that, and we're nearly blue in the face here in relation to immigration in this country and how damaging it can be to our economy and how damaging it is to society. But getting back to our neutrality, you know, we contradict our neutrality constantly all the time. A lot of people believe it's in our constitution, but it's not. We're not actually constitutionally a neutral country. We're just morally a neutral country. And we don't have the ability to be anything but neutral, to be honest with you. But the idea that we do get involved in wars, and more so lately when we look at Ukraine and Israel and Palestine, that we're getting involved in wars, suggests that we're not neutral at all. So should we step back from those? Should we be, for example, I don't disagree with humanitarian aid, of course, but the idea that we would be sending any money at all that may be used for either lethal or non-lethal weapons, I mean, to me, it goes against completely the idea of neutrality.
No, absolutely. No, I totally agree with what you're saying. I think we've got enough of our own to be looking after, to be, problems in Ireland. And we are a small country. And I don't know how much we can help out with other countries. It's great to send them aid, peacekeeping force, whenever they're sent over to different countries. But I think basically we need to stay neutral now, really, we're so small.
Okay, thank you for that, Derek. Let me just go to John as well. John, hi, how are you?
I'm not too bad. Look, this latest outburst by Harris, now recognising the state of Palestine. He has no authority to speak for the Irish people.
He does have a mandate. I mean, he has a mandate for the Irish people. You're saying he's no authority. He does. He's the Taoiseach. I'm not saying I agree with him, John. I'm just saying he does have a mandate.
Well, he doesn't have my mandate and thousands of others. Well, hang on a second. No, he don't speak for the Irish people. I gave him no permission to do that. This is a neutral country. This is a republic, right? It's the same as... I draw a comparison. Ursula von der Leyen stood up and said, "We're with you, Israel. We back you 100%. She had no right to do that on behalf of the European nations,
nope,
which we are one. What's going on is pure traitorism at the moment. There's a war on the Irish people at the moment with the amount of people. You've seen the video there that you put up there. That shithole now. That's like a disease centre up there on the Grand Canal. The war has been declared now internally in the Irish people by the Irish government. Those traitors that are alone. People to just come in here, and there are thousands almost on a weekly basis, right? So Jesus Christ, help us. You talk about neutrality. To me, the war has not been declared on the Irish people. No, as regards the global conflict, we do need once and for all to put this to bed and have a referendum on it. And I think the Irish people would overwhelmingly say that they want to remain neutral, and that's it. And this would stop these asshole politicians going off on solo runs.
I don't agree with politicians turning up the doll, you know, with scarves around their necks and all this kind of carry on.
No, like Marilyn McDonald's.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I don't agree with that because they're meant to represent all of the people of the country and all of the people that voted for them. And not everybody agrees with what they're doing. So some people do, some people don't.
When Mary Lou done that there and put that item on her head and addressed that meeting, right, she lost thousands of votes by doing that, because I know people in Sinn Féin and they were absolutely disgusted.
Okay, but getting back to, and Billy made a good point, or I think somebody made a good point earlier on, I think it was Billy, that on one hand, you know, the lefties go on, you know, about neutrality and everything else, and on the other hand, they're applauding, you know, the state, Ireland, recognising the state of Palestine. Now, you know, don't get me wrong, of course, everybody is appalled by genocide, murder, and all the things that are happening to the people in Palestine, or should I say in Gaza. I mean, everybody would be appalled by that, and certainly also appalled by the way, the kidnappings and the murder that's going on of Israelis as well. But should it be Europe's position, and should it be Ireland's position as part of Europe, to be involved in that? Obviously, you can condemn genocide, you can condemn murder, of course.
But I mean, you had Boyd Ballard there, he was on...
Sorry, Lorraine.
I've had this round. Me and Jay have had this discussion and we've gone into depth about it, about Palestine and Israel and all of that stuff. My view of it is, why do we have to get involved? Yes, it is deplorable and it is sick and I do not agree with what is going on. But we are too small to go over there and try to defend Palestine. We're too small to go over there and try to just stay out of it. Let the two of them go at it and...
That's not the answer either, is it? Nobody wants the two of them to go at it. I know
nobody wants them to go. Like, send somebody in, as you said, to sit them down and talk about it. I know that's probably not going to solve it either, but at the same time, you can't, like...
Well, all I see are countries, larger countries, of course, promoting it by handing money over.
Not at the moment.
John, look at the billions America have given to Ukraine, for example. You know, without that money, that war would not continue.
And said, I didn't realise our guns were being used against the... And you're like, shut up, what do you think they're being used for?
Yeah, I was just about to make that point, the whole thing about America, right? At the moment, like, there are people saying, like scaremongering, saying that, with Putin and the whole lot in Ukraine, this is the start of the Third World War. I'm sorry, the Third World War has started. America's supplying, as you just said, like, they've given billions of dollars, right? They've given missiles, planes, bullets, bombs. The Germans are supplying them, the French are supplying the Ukraine, the Brits are supplying them. So every single person that is supplying Ukraine are at war with Russia. If you came to my house and if I knew if you had a gun that you would shoot your neighbour who you're not getting on with, and if I willingly gave you that gun and you shot that neighbour, so that makes me complicit.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And by the way, the Russians have said this about the United Kingdom in particular recently. They said by de facto they're involved in the war. But the very nature of the fact that they're giving them planes, they're giving them tanks, they're giving them weapons. Yeah. But also you could argue, you know, that the money we have given, although it's meant to be given for non-lethal weapons, the money that we have given, I don't disagree with humanitarian aid, of course, but the funding of the other 122 million in non-lethal military assistance, as they call it.
The very idea that we have army rangers over there training people about demining, the very fact that at the start of the conflict, a couple of months in, Simon Coveney, Simple Simon, right, gave €50,000 for helmets and uniforms. No, he said he had no problem with that. But the last time I looked, like, helmets and uniforms are worn by soldiers who go into battle carrying arms to kill other people.
I'm not disagreeing with you on the very idea that a plane would land in Shannon, for example, to refuel where it's heading to a war, possibly. Are bringing troops to a war. I mean, but here's the thing, John. People have this idea that we are a neutral country. We're technically not really, because it's not in our constitution. So should there be a referendum?
Well, there should be 100%, and put this into bed once and for all. Give us the referendum, and I guarantee you that those so-called gobshites that are supposed to be leading this country will get a land, just like they did at the ridiculous referendum with the carers and the woman in the home. They were caught there, and they will be caught again, because the Irish people would overwhelmingly vote, I believe, for neutrality.
Yeah, I'm looking here, by the way. Eoghan O'Riordan has just put up a tweet while waving a Palestinian flag.
And he's,
hang on. No, please don't make any remarks on this. We need a complete international boycott of Israel. It ended apartheid in South Africa, and it will end the Gaza genocide. No, it won't. A vote of for Fine Gael in this EU election is a vote for Ursula von der Leyen and her support for Israel. That's not what Dublin believes in.
Niall, at the height of the IRA campaign, which was a scurrilous campaign, maiming and bombing people in Britain and the north of Ireland, both the bombs are put off in Britain, right? Supposing at the time what Ian O'Riordan's proposing, that the British decided that throwing Irish people out of Britain and sending them home and fire them out of jobs and stop trading completely with us. They did not, but how would that have played out?
Yeah, I mean, I did watch the Eurovision Song Contest, by the way. I didn't agree with a boycott of Israel. And mind you, I don't know why Israel were actually in the Eurovision Song Contest in the first place. It's meant to be the Eurovision Song Contest. I don't know why Australia are in it either, but that's bizarre. Anyway, I didn't even realise Israel were meant to be in it in the first place. But, you know, I did have a level of sympathy for the poor girl singing with everybody booing at her. I mean, she's not on the front line. She's not killing anybody. You know what I mean?
I leave you on this. There was a bit of commotion outside and outside on Cork, right? There was a dog presented itself to the healthcare centre for a tetanus injection because it was after biting a left-wing politician.
Thank you, John. Thank you for that.
I like that one, John. I like that one.
Let me go to Norman. Norman, hi. How are you?
Hello, Niall. How are you doing? Oh, God, I'm going to be in trouble now.
Is there neutrality at risk, Norman? Because obviously we're part of the European Union, and we're seeing, you know, war in Ukraine and Russia, Israel and Palestine. You know, we're seeing all this happening. So is our neutrality at risk, you know, when we're part of something bigger that is funding war?
Well, I was very pro-EU. And especially during Brexit, but after EU has done now.
Oh, hello. Sorry, I thought that was just John. Go ahead. No.
After what the EU has done now, and especially von der Leyen, I'd vote tomorrow to leave the EU.
Yeah.
It's an absolute disgrace the way they're supporting Israel and supporting Ukraine, neither of which I support. And to be honest with you, I don't even think Israel should exist as a state.
You're entitled to your view, but many people would disagree with you.
Support Palestine? Can I ask, do you support Palestine?
Absolutely, of course. Why wouldn't I support Palestine?
What do you mean, absolutely? Sorry? Well, hang on. What do you mean, absolutely? Of course, I do. There are two trains of thought on it, Norman. You're not the only one, you know.
They were a state up until they were a country up until 1948 until 47.
Know the history of Palestine.
Excuse me. Hello there. Until Britain, our friend, our big friend next door, who's been still in this country for 700 years, and are killed. Last week was the Dublin Monument bomb. Just remember that?
Yeah.
Who was behind that? Who organised that?
But Norman, when you talk about I want to go back to what you said. You don't recognise the state of Israel,
and
right?
Just the reason I asked did you support Palestine was the fact you said I don't support Israel, I don't support it as a state.
Or Ukraine.
That's the reason I asked about, or Ukraine. That was the reason I asked. I didn't want the history of Palestine. I know that myself.
I want to come at this, Norman, from an impartial point of view, right? And take neither side. And I agree with you in relation to what the European Union are doing and supporting Israel. They shouldn't be. And they shouldn't be financing Israel either. I do believe, of course, there's a complete overreaction by Israel to what happened in October.
Yeah.
But in
one night. One night in 70, compared to 75 years.
I understand that. Okay. But should the European Union's job not be to respect the people of Israel, respect the people of Palestine and Gaza, and to look for peace rather than be funding one side or the other. I mean, you're equally as bad if you're saying you don't recognise the state of Israel. You know what I mean?
No. No, but why was the state of Israel created?
But hold on a second. Let me take this from a more domestic point of view, right? From a more domestic point of view, there are many people in Ireland who don't recognise Northern Ireland as being British. All right?
Yeah.
But it is British.
But it isn't British.
Yeah, it is British.
No, it's an island. Ireland.
Okay, but yeah, you can say, Norman, you can say that to me till you're blue in the face.
I'm saying it, yeah.
But you can say it all you want, but I can tell you now, you're wrong. Historically, it's Britain. Okay, and that's just a fact. Now
it's not historically
Britain. Norman, you can say what you want.
Excuse me, hold on. 1912, the Home Rule.
I know the history. I don't need a history lesson, Norman. I'm just telling you, you're entitled to your view, just like Republicans across the country are entitled to their view.
If we had Home Rule since 1912, there would never have been the IRA.
When did this turn into a history lesson?
Norman, I don't need a history. I'm just making a simple point to you that we have peace on this island because we agree.
We don't have peace on this island. We still have the UVF. And they're still armed, aren't they?
Stop tonight. We're not back in the 1970s. We're not blowing up buildings and killing each other, right? The point I'm saying, Norman, is we have the Good Friday Agreement. We have peace in this island because
people
we have two...
Like you, because Norman, we have people are going to start war on this island.
Yeah, okay, we have two different sets of people who are willing to agree with each other on a point of difference, right? But you're not willing to disagree.
You're
living in the past, Norman.
Look at the facts. The peace on this island is because the Catholics are much more tolerant and willing to work with the DUP.
I'm sure the loyalists wouldn't agree with you on that point. Yeah, Norman, I'm trying to make a very simple point to you. You know, I'm not getting into an argument about, you know, the North and the South. What I'm saying to you is... because it's a good analogy. The point I'm making about peace is that we've had decades of peace in this country. Because we have had two different
parties. Because we are a tolerant people, because we let things happen to us. No other country would allow.
But we're not that tolerant.
Clearly, we weren't that tolerant. Okay, the point I'm making, Norman, is we have an agreement. An agreement is that we respect each other.
We forgot about it when it came to Brexit. They completely forgot about the Good Friday Agreement. Never occurred to them.
Yeah, and we fought tooth and nail to get rid of the backstop, and we did. Right? And there's no hard border.
We didn't have to fight tooth and nail. The British government, we're their nearest neighbour, they signed an international agreement.
So what did you want the British government to do? Just turn around and put a border down the centre of the Irish Sea and say, lads, in Northern Ireland, you're on your own?
No.
Tell you what, you can have the six counties back. It's too much trouble for us. Is that what you wanted them to say?
And how
would that feel for the people of Northern Ireland who consider themselves British? Is that a bit fair on them?
Well, they can move back over to
England. Shut up, Norman, for God's sake.
Go back to the Troubles, Norman. If you want the six counties back, watch this island explode.
I don't want the six counties back.
I'm not going to make the point I was going to make it because you're not going to accept the analogy I was giving you. Stay there for a second, Norman and Lorraine. Let me just go to Bernie. Bernie, hi, how are you doing?
Hey, Niall. I just think that we should hold on to our neutrality with both hands and keep it going because it's a shining star to the rest of the world. Even with all that went on in our past, we can still manage to maintain our hold our.
But are we maintaining it? We're not really maintaining it, are we?
Well, I just
gave you the best example. We've just recognized where we are going to recognize the state of Palestine. That's not remaining neutral because by de facto, that's taking sides. So
yeah,
that's
but
not neutral.
We shouldn't be doing it. See, this is where we weren't asked as people. I wasn't asked as a person, did I want to support them? I don't. I don't want to support anything that's at war at the moment. That's not my war. I have my own war here every day. I don't need to support another country. I need to keep... This is made on my behalf, but it's not on my behalf because I didn't want it. I don't want to support either, any sides of war.
I totally agree with Bernie.
I absolutely don't. And nobody asked my opinion.
Do you think, Bernie, in this changing world, and it is a changing world, and we're seeing more and more wars, do you believe that we can remain neutral?
Yes. I think we should grab it with both hands and remain neutral. Do you want your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren to go into war for another country and for another area?
No,
do
not
you?
At all.
Is that what you want? Is that what you want me to leave my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren?
Do you believe in a UN army, by the way? Do you believe in, an EU army? Do you believe in, an army?
No,
of...
I don't believe. I think every country should have its own army and keep its own people safe for its own nation.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be involved in ourselves. Like, America is the big mouth of the world. I don't follow anything that they're doing. I think it's a disgrace. You can look after their own people in their own big country. War is not the answer. We've seen that. Can nobody stand up and be peaceful? Can we not just keep our neutrality and say, do you know what? We had the last 100 years of war in our country. Our grandparents, our forefathers all had to leave because of war. We were kept down. For the first time in our lives, can we stand up for the last 100 years? Can we finally say, enough is enough? Please let us live our lives on our own island with our own army and guards. And be proud of what we have achieved as a nation. Never mind looking at other nations.
Should we have a referendum?
Yes, have a referendum and ask the people, because I swear to God, they'll get a kick up the hole, that lads above on the doll, and see what the actual real people in our population are actually feeling and thinking. This is not what I want for my children, grandchildren or great-grandchildren. Nothing like this. And ask me the question. Please let me at least have the dignity to be able to answer you.
Well, stay there for a second, Ryan and Bernie. Let me just go to Jackie as well. Jackie, hi, how are you?
I'm good.
There's so many facets to this conversation, although Norman wouldn't accept that Northern Ireland was part of Great Britain. I can see where we stand now in this conversation, even though you may not want to morally accept it, but you have to factually accept it. Anyway, getting back to the conversation, firstly, can we remain neutral? Is it possible, Jackie, in this changing world, when we're seeing, these conflicts around the world, that the EU are involved in, essentially, by funding them, can we remain neutral?
I think everything that Bernie was saying there is 100% true. There's so much emphasis now on, say, we're always looking outside our own country to go and do something elsewhere and help other people and that. And we have so many problems internal here that need to be sorted. We need to get our priorities right here. Number one, we should remain neutral, and it's becoming very difficult because of being in the EU to do that. But we have to look inwards here and sort out our own mess before we start going,
At Arizona State University, we offer a wide variety of degree programs online to match all kinds of interests and career aspirations. Programs that are taught by the same notable faculty who teach on campus and designed using innovative technology to improve learning outcomes and equip you for post-graduation success. That's why 87% of ASU online graduates indicated they were promoted at work or received an increase in salary after earning their degree. Find your program at asuonline.asu.edu.
This thing of getting claps on the back, or government going out there getting claps on the back because we're given so many billion outside the country to different nations, different countries, different whatever. It's absolutely ridiculous. I don't understand why we have to be doing this the whole time. Get our own house in order first.
A lot of it is virtue signaling, isn't it? It's quite being virtuous more than anything else.
Yeah. And again, going back to the point about our own army, we should have a proper army there. We should have a proper navy that can patrol our own waters. We should be independent, be aimed to support ourselves. And this goes across the board and everything. Like all our resources are being taken away so that we are totally reliant on outside.
That has been suggested in the past that we're like the freeloaders of Europe when it comes to military, because, of course, we depend on everybody else to protect us, including the RAF, as was mentioned earlier by Billy. But I don't have an issue because, I don't know, are Malta freeloaders? I don't have an issue with that, to be honest with you, personally.
I think we should be self-sufficient in every way and
form.
But we
could never be self-sufficient.
Security being one of them.
But Jackie, security and defence, we could never be self-sufficient. We're a small country with a small economy.
Well, no, but we could still have
We have to have allies. No, we have to have allies.
Yeah, well, okay. We always had allies going back as well. But the thing is, why do we constantly go and try and sort out other people's problems when we have so many problems internally here that we need to get sorted?
Should we have spent 122 million on military assistance for the Ukraine?
To me, it's not helping Ukraine by, you know, whatever money is being horsed into that by both the U.S., by all the various governments.
Well, and billions got in by the U.S. and the United Kingdom. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, and what's happening? You have all.
Well, what's the alternative? You know, if they don't have the money, well, then Russia basically is successful in taking, you know, part of Ukraine, if that's what they're aiming to do, taking part of Ukraine. Now, as I said before, I believe Sabina Higgins, by the way, was right when she said 3 years ago when she was castigated, or 2 years ago when she was castigated for saying it, that we should be aiming for peace. I don't know what's wrong with that, by the way. I don't know what's wrong with the word peace. People have this aversion to the word peace these days.
Yeah, because there's it's all about money.
There's money in war. Of course there is, yeah.
There's huge money in war. And you don't hear any of our major or political leaders saying, "Oh, we have to sort out a peaceful solution to this." It's all about, "Oh, how do we feed this war? How do we keep feeding?" Because as we keep feeding the war, it continues. More innocent people are being killed on both sides, on the Russian side, on the Ukrainian side. It's like, it does not, the whole thing doesn't make sense.
Do you agree with Simon Harris recognising the state of Palestine?
I agree that Palestine should be recognised. Israel.
But is that impartial? I mean, I'm not giving you my opinion either way, but is that not a breach of impartiality, which is a breach of neutrality, to basically suggest that because we recognise the state of Palestine, we are taking a side? Yeah. So does that not go against everything you just said about neutrality?
No, but you have to recognise that they are, you know, as such an independent state. Like Ireland, you know, is an independent.
But you're saying more. Hold on, Jackie. You're not naive. You know as well as I do what saying the words "we recognise the state of Palestine" means. It doesn't just mean we're recognising an independent state. It means in that particular conflict between Israel and Palestine, on the Gaza Strip, that we're essentially taking a side.
Yeah, but we should have been recognising this years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When all the hardship what Palestinians were putting through, this should have been done years and years ago, not just now. But it has to be recognised. They are an independent state.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm coming back to what you're saying, that you know you want us to remain neutral and be the peacekeepers of Europe, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, but how can you be peacekeepers and how can you be neutral when by de facto you're actually taking a side? And the same comes, say, with Russia and Ukraine. For example, when we're supplying money or we're part of the European Union that are supplying money, by de facto we're taking sides.
But how is it that you're recognising a state that you're suddenly your neutrality is taken?
Jackie, come on. I know you a while now. You're not stupid, man. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
No, I'm not, but I do. But I mean, it's just because you recognise that.
Okay, and that's fine, and I accept that. But you are taking a side by doing that. If you want to do that in the future, if you want to do that in the past, that's fine. But what I'm saying, at this very moment in time, in the middle of this conflict, by recognising the state of Palestine, you are taking a side.
But maybe it's trying to end, you know, by recognising and recognising the Palestine, that you're trying to come to an end of this conflict and trying to get other nations and that to see, hang on a minute, the what's going on there is completely wrong and it needs to be recognized.
And equally, Ursula von der Leyen and the European Union taking sides, you know, in other words, funding Israel, is equally as wrong.
But they're funding.
Absolutely.
They're actually funding.
Absolutely.
Now, what are we doing? We're sending out aid. Now, is that funding?
No, there's nothing wrong with humanitarian aid. Of course, we should do everything we possibly can for people who are the victims of genocide or murder or whatever it happens to be in any country in the world. You know, because that's what we do. Yeah. That's what Irish people do. That's what we've always done. That's the nation we
always
are.
Done.
Okay, so if there was a referendum tomorrow on keeping our neutrality, now, if you put it into the Constitution, different to the way it is now, of course, it would be much stricter. We wouldn't be having planes landing in Shannon Airport. We may have to have a real consideration when it comes to the High Courts in relation to recognising the state of Palestine, for example, if, for example, neutrality was in our Constitution, because people will make arguments on both sides as to certain things that we can and can't do. So...
Yeah.
So would you still vote yes to neutrality in the referendum?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
Neutrality, you know, this is, I suppose, a keystone or the backbone of this country in a way that we do remain neutral.
Stay there. Stay there. Madeline, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how's it going?
Good.
And before you ask me, yes, I would vote yes if it came to a referendum for neutrality, 100%.
Do you believe we're neutral at the moment?
We've always given that impression because of our peaceful relations with neighbouring countries. And we've never, thank God, had to get into the actual conflict. But by the guys sending out money for helmets and guns, and we are aiding and abetting. And I don't think they should be wearing flags or scarves in Irish government.
No, I agree with you, they shouldn't.
Government.
I agree.
I don't think we should be flying anyone else's flags. We are a sovereign state. We are our own country. And we should be only flying our own flags. And as a matter of fact, if the government had to put as much effort into trying to sort this tiny little country out instead of letting it get into the mess that it's in, chasing all over the world to look like they're helping other people's problems, our country would be in a better state.
Well, we all know why that is, because politicians are self-serving and they want to look good around the world so they can, their next job will be somewhere in Europe, probably. So we're well aware of what politicians are up to. They don't really care about domestic issues as much as they should. They seem to care more about international issues than domestic issues. We have massive domestic issues in this country at the moment.
It's a voice to go to referendum because the people need to have a voice. They're entitled to have a voice. They want to have a voice. This is our country, our forefathers fought hard for what we have, and we want to keep it for our children and our grandchildren, and there's nothing wrong with that. And the deeper we get into all this EU agenda and WHO, the further down into the abyss we're going to slide.
Can I ask both of you, and if you're not familiar with it, that's fine as well, but Jackie, you know, during the year only recently, Simon Harris talked about the triple lock and abandoning the triple lock, and Micheál Martin suggested too that it wouldn't make much difference to do it. They want to bring legislation forward to do it by the end of this year. That is part of our neutrality as well. Do you believe that we should abandon it?
I think we should go straight for a referendum regarding a sovereign state and a neutral state. Cut out all the lists.
And I agree.
Okay, so you don't believe, so you, in other words, you don't believe the triple lock should be abandoned until we have a referendum?
A referendum and just put it to the people, Because you know something, I have to laugh at these government people. You know, it's real easy to support all these countries when you're not living in the bloody country. Like, people support in Islam countries. They don't live there under Sharia law where you have to queue for food and queue for water. It's real easy to, you know, fly the flag. People don't realise how good we have it here. And we're going to lose this freedom if all this shit continues. We're going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to resemble, this country will resemble the shitholes that people are running away from at the moment.
Sorry, Jackie, go ahead.
Yeah. I know I might have said this previous, but going back years ago, and when I'd be touring in the UK, I used to stay in Luton, and Luton was this gorgeous, you know, kind of a mini city and that. And over the years, as I was staying with friends there, how it changed, that city just changed into something that you cannot. It reminds me now of where Dublin is going, and Cork and some other towns. It is absolutely.
Well, you know what's sickening? Horrendous. You know what's really sickening? I put up a video this morning, and it was taken by somebody else, and I got his permission to use the video of the canal, and they're like tree deep on the canal now. You can't even walk down the canal anymore, right?
Yeah.
Now, there's a match on, as you know, tomorrow night, a big match on tomorrow night, and a lot of tourists coming from Italy. And I said to myself, I guarantee you they will move them today because, firstly, they don't want Dublin to look bad and they don't want any trouble with people, visitors who are coming to the country. And exactly that, they're moving them today. This is all about aesthetics. So I don't know where they're moving them. They couldn't. I don't think they're going to be moving them to Torrington Hall because it's not ready yet. So I don't know where they're going to move them to tents in a field somewhere else, right? Just where they can't be
can
seen.
Can you imagine what that's going to cost, putting up these barriers, taking them down, these NGOs giving them the money for tents, taking them down? Like, this is like looking at a cartoon, except it's not funny. And why are we compromising our beautiful canal walkways where people actually walk to work?
Well, more barriers will be put up in the canal as soon as these tents are taken down. And we know how long the canal is. Where will they be next? Rat Mines, Rat Gar? I mean, where are the tents go? How far will the tents stretch next week? Because another 500 will come in next week.
They're putting the Irish people in bloody cages, compromising our country to facilitate people who come in here with no documentation. Criminals are roaming freely at our expense. Like, Jesus Christ, when are people going to wake up to this?
Well, I tell you when people should wake up, on the 7th of June. That's when they should wake up to this. And by the way, I'm not saying this just to vote for me, because I do want you to vote for me, obviously, for the European elections. But I'm saying, in your local area, for your local elections, vote for anybody, provided you like them, but the government candidates.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
This election is going to be like a referendum. Sorry, Jackie, go ahead.
Yeah. And just going back to, we really need to have a referendum on a few things here, on that sheet. You know, we have the WHO, we have the hate speech, we have immigration. And am I missing something else? I'm sure I'm missing something else as well.
Can we throw in something else there? Sorry, what's that gentleman's name?
Yeah. Jackie is his name.
Jackie, just throw something else in there. I read in the papers, our national media, one of the papers over the weekend, about HICWA doing a report on all these IPAS centres and how the people were living in dreadful conditions. When is the last time HICWA went into Beaumont Hospital or the Mater Hospital to see the patients down there living in less than third world conditions?
Okay. Sure. Now, in fairness to HICWA, they have done reports. And don't get me wrong, I wouldn't be a fan of HICWA, but they have done reports in nursing homes and all other places like that when they've been requested to do so. But in relation to immigration, you know, I mean, I was only talking to Neil Munro recently from Breitbart, and, you know, and he confirmed that there's more money currently in this country or in around Europe, for example, in immigration, to be made out of immigration than there is out of the illegal drug trade. So
if someone had the balls to pull all the NGO money tomorrow, everybody would just disappear out of the country.
I mean, look at the millionaires we're making out of hotel owners, accommodation owners, catering companies, tent people who sell tents. Those tents, by the way, they're trespass tents. These are not cheap Aldi tents, by the way, by any stretch of the imagination. And all we do is give them to them, and then we destroy them, and then we give them more of them. That's all coming out of your pocket, Jackie. That was your last week's tax money.
Pull the funding, for one month, and you'll see a drastic change here, because this is just ridiculous, and I really do hope people are copping on and waking up.
It's not going to get any better, by the way. And I can tell you now, the government are going to make you a million promises, because there's an election coming up, so they'll make you as many promises as you want. And you got Sinn Féin pretending they don't want open borders, when clearly over the last 20 years we've clearly seen that Sinn Féin, for example, rejected the referendum in 2004, the Birthright referendum, or Anke Berby referendum as they used to call it, and they also tried to slink that back in the back door in 2019. Sinn Féin have always been against discriminating against people on the borders. They've always said that. Sinn Féin were open borders, as far as I'm concerned, only up to recently. They're the party of U-turns, and they're doing it to be populist.
You don't have to tell me. Well, all over the north side, I don't think you can actually see a poster because they've all been spray painted. So.
Okay.
That's right. I noticed that in my travels as well. And one person that I noticed everywhere, and I'm up and down the country, is Maria Walsh. I can't get over the campaign that's there with her posters. They're everywhere.
Yeah, and by the way, I can tell you from experience, obviously, how expensive they are. Each one of those posters, those kind of rectangular posters, is about €7. Yeah. And then it costs about €4 to put every single one of them up. So you work that out. Some of the big campaigns, I suppose, the Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Maria Walsh, of course, part of Fine Gael. I mean, those big campaigns, you're looking at maybe 50,000 posters. I don't know, 25,000 posters. I haven't a clue. It depends if they're European, but they're locals. They wouldn't be that many, obviously, but European certainly would be bigger. Yeah. You can imagine the money that's being put in. Stay there for a second. Let me go to Joseph. Joseph, hi, how are you?
I do know. Thanks for having me on.
Joseph, okay, back to our neutrality very quickly, because I've got, I think, two more calls to go to. But Tony, I'll be with you in a second. Joseph, would you vote yes to neutrality?
Yeah, of course. I mean, every rational thinking Irish person would. What do we have to gain from it? Absolutely nothing. Now, the thing that's not being discussed is you know, Ireland is a relatively small country, right? What are we going to contribute to any sort of force that's, you know, really worth the effort of what we lose out in? Absolutely nothing. Now, you know, some people say, oh, what if Russia attacks? Those people are not clued into the world. Like, they have no idea. And Russia would never attack a smallest country like Ireland.
No, they're not interested. They probably don't even know where we are.
It's like the boogeyman thing. Now, the other thing, if for whatever reason any country in the world decided to invade Ireland for, you know, magical reasons, whatever nonsense, you know, we de facto have the defense that, England wouldn't allow us. You know, they wouldn't allow anyone to...
Oh, we've lost your phone there, Joseph. Are you okay? Can you hear us? Sorry, go
foreign
ahead.
Foreign conflicts.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at America, right, they love getting involved in foreign conflicts. And what have they achieved out of it? I mean, 20 years after the Twin Towers fell, America spent a couple trillion, I believe, at this point, on sorting out the world with their army. And, Al-Qaeda are still in control of all
the... Well, we all know they did more damage than they did good. Let's be clear about
it. Exactly, exactly. And,
by the way, I've always said by taking out dictators, you know, and when you take out dictators, you destabilize the area. Dictators are not a good thing, by the way, but they do keep control of areas.
Yeah, exactly. And if you want to get change in a country long term, it has to come from the people up. It has to...
Absolutely.
There are various revolutions. And we threw off monarchs we threw off the English here. It wasn't, you know, it was a small group of dedicated people who just want freedom from the country. And it was because the country rose collectively. That's how you're going to do it.
Okay, what's the Irish Army's role in if we have neutrality in the Constitution, unlike what we have at the moment, which is not a neutrality in the Constitution? We just kind of have this moral neutrality. I mean, what's the role then for the Irish Army? Obviously just protecting our own seas.
Yeah, we're neutral as in we don't take part in other conflicts. But we have an army still, if we ever want them for anti-terrorist stuff, because yes, there will be terrorists who come in here. There will be smugglers. I mean, we're a big port of entry for a lot of the drug trade coming into Europe. They feel like the west coast of Ireland is an easy target. Once seen, it can be shipped in trucks and whatever else.
The argument I've put to Jackie there in relation to neutrality. So if you enshrine neutrality into the Constitution, it does put you in a precarious situation. Say, for example, if you want to give 122 million for non-military assistance to the European Peace Force or facility for Ukraine. So that puts you into a precarious situation if you're funding what can be seen to be funding even helmets and uniforms.
No, we shouldn't be doing that. Like, again, it goes against neutrality. It goes against common sense.
I mentioned to Jackie recognising the state of Palestine. That puts you in a precarious situation. That would have to be discussed at a legal level as to whether you could even do that if we were a legally constitutional neutral country.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think that neutrality and recognising a group of people as independent and who wish to be independent, I don't think those two things clash.
You don't think so?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't the basis for the conflict over that very thing? So if you're recognizing a state, and by the way, I'm not giving you my belief on it. I'm just saying, if you're recognizing a state, you're essentially getting involved, aren't you?
No, like, I mean, what if just as an example? Okay, let's say.
Okay, I recognize Northern Ireland as British.
Yeah,
that gets me involved.
Well, no, it puts a standpoint on it, but you're not going to get involved as in send troops, like, to actually do anything about it.
No, but if the Irish government turned around tomorrow and says we don't recognise Britain and Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Well, now we're in trouble again. Then we're in trouble again, aren't we?
Well, I don't think it's a state. Well, that statement affects us directly in how we operate. But if you're talking about countries other side of the world, it doesn't really affect how we operate with those countries.
Does us recognise the state of Palestine save a single life? No, it probably doesn't. There's a lot of virtue signalling going on. Does it save a single life? No, probably not. So, by the way, in relation to what the lads were saying earlier on, I'm Adnan, I think we're saying it too. Do you believe that members of the Dáil or TDs should be wearing Palestinian scarves in the Dáil? I'm just curious.
No, absolutely not. That should be an offence that gets them removed from the Dáil permanently. That's not what our elected representatives should do. They can make gestures to say, look, I strongly support this, or I think what's going on is wrong. They can do that. But the only flag they should ever wave or ever hold in any sort of way is the Irish flag, and that's that. Exactly.
Okay. All right. Okay. We'll stay there for a second because I want to go to Tony. Tony, hi.
On topic. Can I jump in there quick?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, with the whole Israel-Gaza thing, right? I think, you know, the only solution that's ever going to make sense there is you take all the Israelis and you move them out to Kenya, which was proposed so many decades ago before they decided on Israel. You take all the Palestinians and you move them out to Madagascar, Sri Lanka, or wherever, and say, you two lads, keep separate because you can't play well together. That's the only way it's going to happen, because those two people, two groups, they have the same land that they both believe is given to them, which, you know, if you go into the history of it, I don't believe it is. And they can't work together, and it's only ever going to be conflict. There's no one-state solution, two-state solution, even the three-state solution you heard from...
Peter Casey last night,
Casey. That's never going
to... The clown.
Separate them. Separate them all. Take them all out and say, no, guys, you can't play well together. I'm moving you out. You're in the bold box. That's the only way to do it.
All right, well, listen, thank you for that. Let me just go to Tony as well. Tony, hi, how are you?
Hello, Noel. How are you? Are you okay?
Good. I'm good, Tony. Thank you, by the way, Madeline and Jackie as well. Sorry, because we have to finish this up in a second. Go ahead, Tony.
I just wanted to say, Noel, we had the tarnished in Micheál Martin. He came on TV and he said he's not interested at all for Ireland and this backward ideology of being a sovereign state. Yet he bangs on about the Ukrainians and the Palestinians having a sovereign state. I mean, he's contradicting himself. Like, what he's saying is it's okay for them to be a sovereign state, but we're just to be some ghillies that's used.
Mm. And
he's been doing this for a long time.
What are you suggesting to me? That he's just virtue signaling?
He's just virtuous all the time, constantly. He never, ever, ever... Like, if you listen to what he says, he never, ever speaks up for Ireland or the Irish people. He's not representing us. And the same as the ones in Europe who are flashing up on every second lamppost now. Where have they been for the last 5 years? Do you see Maria Walsh? Every time you're looking, there's something about her. She's doing this in Sligo. She's doing this in Castlebar. What did she do for the last years for Ireland? She didn't represent us.
Well, do you know, she was the hide-and-seek champion of the world.
Yeah. She didn't represent us. Now it's... 6 weeks away, less than
well, I think away. I think actually most MEPs are in contention for the hide and seek champion of the world, to be honest with you, because most of them, with the very few exceptions, by the way, some of them over the years have done a bit of good work, but most of them have done very little because they're so far away that we're actually not monitoring what they're doing.
There's five MEPs that went to Brussels, and could they honestly say, but just between the five of them in 5 years, that they've done one solitary thing for Irish people?
Well, they will claim there are things they've done, but they haven't done a huge amount. No, I would agree with you. They've done practically nothing.
They can claim what they like.
Yeah.
They've done nothing. And yet, but just like you have Maria Walsh, and she's gone to this fair and that fair and the other fair.
Oh, she's going to vote again for Ursula von der Leyen anyway. Even though she said she doesn't support her, which I find bizarre. But I mean, she doesn't support her, but she's going to vote for her.
Like, we are a sovereign state, and there's nothing wrong with being a sovereign state. And there's nothing wrong with being a Republican. There's nothing wrong with being a nationalist. Yeah, but just like, it's not a dirty word now for the end.
Well, it almost is, by the way. And I talked to Mario Rosenstock about this last week on his podcast. Mario said this idea now of patriotism or sovereignty or protecting borders, they're almost like dirty words. And they shouldn't be. They've been hijacked, unfortunately. Listen, Jackie and Tony, I do apologise. I have to cut everybody a bit short. Thank you very much indeed. I appreciate you all coming on today and talking to us. Thank you to everybody who got involved in the show. Don't forget, by the way, keep supporting our campaign at nileboylanforeurope.ie. If you can support the campaign, I'd really, really appreciate it, because we don't have deep pockets and those €7 posters have to be paid for by somebody. Anyway, so please do support the campaign if you can. Niall Boylan for Europe. Please do vote for me on June the 7th. I promise I will be part of the change. I promise I won't be a hide-and-seek champion. I'm still going to do the podcast. We're going to change the schedule of it, obviously, because I can't be doing it, you know, from Monday to Thursday, but we may do it from Thursday to Sunday or something like that. Or we'll do something along those lines. But I will report back to you each and every week and let you know exactly what I'm doing. I'm not going to go missing for 4.5 years. And I want to represent Ireland. And I want to embarrass the Irish government. And people often say to me now, well, what can you do about, say, housing while you're over there? Well, there's a lot we can do, for example, in relation to vulture funds. There could be legislation brought in, European legislation brought in to stop people going in, for example, and buying up stocks of houses and leaving them for 2 years empty, etc. So there are things that can be done on the European level. And not only that, I'll embarrass the Irish government so much that they'll have to do something about it. You know what I'm like over the last 30 years. I don't give a shit what I say. So I'll embarrass the Irish government into doing whatever they can to help the Irish people when it comes to housing, immigration, healthcare, and everything else that goes along with it. Thank you very much indeed for everybody who's already told me they're voting for me. Get your friends to vote for me as well. Remember, Niall Boylan for Europe. No number one. All right. And don't forget, by the way, if there are other people you have in mind, give them a 2, 3, or 4, whatever you want to do. All right. But just be careful. Only give a number to the people you would like to see being elected. Don't give a number to somebody you don't want to see getting elected. Don't believe the myth going around that if you leave blank spaces, they get voted in. They don't. The only people that will ever get your vote are the people you put a number beside. They're the only ones that will ever get a vote or a transfer of your vote are the people you put numbers beside. So please make sure you do a bit of research. Go onto the Electoral Commission website. You'll get all the information there. And go to checktheregister.ie. Make sure you're registered, although it's too late. Midnight last night was the closure. So hopefully you're registered to vote now. Thank you. And by the way, don't forget to support the podcast because, of course, we have no money. I haven't got paid. I haven't been working in over nearly 5 weeks now. So I have no money. Every bean that I've got has gone into making sure that I get elected. I'm not giving you the poor mouth, but I'm just telling you this. So please do support the podcast. We want to keep this going for as long as we can throughout the campaign. That's why I'm taking time out of the campaign every time to try and do the podcast as much as I can. There will be days over the next 2 weeks in particular that I will be missing, but we'll try our best to do another one at another time to make up for it. So please do support the podcast. Three of us work on it. We don't get paid. We rely solely on your subscriptions on the website, nileboylan.com. And look, if you can donate to us for the podcast, go to nileboylan.com. You can click the donate button there and donate to the podcast just to keep us going until I get elected. And then, thankfully, I'll have a bit of money again because, of course, we pay for this podcast ourselves. So please go to nileboylan.com, donate or subscribe. Thank you very much, and I shall talk to you again tomorrow, same time. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.